The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Cheddar Sport Girl Talk, your home for all things women's sports, the show where we got everything from athletes breaking barriers to industry professionals breaking the glass ceiling. I'm your host, Katie LaBoudelaire, and today I'm joined by Hannah Mills, a player on the TMU Bold basketball team and a sport media student.
Oh.
Okay, Hannah, let's just jump right in. So why don't we just start with kind of how you got into basketball.
Okay. So I first moved to, when I moved to Oshawa from Lindsay, my mom really wanted me to get integrated into the town and, you know, have a better adjustment. So she put me in a bunch of sports, you know, sports is really good for your mental health and it kept me busy after school. So she put me in like swimming, skating, and house league basketball. And I, on the first day, they told me I had to move up an age because I was too tall to play with my own age. And then the next week when I played up an age, they had actually asked me to play on their rep team. And this was other than playing for my elementary school, which I had did that year, I had no basketball experience. So I tried out for the rep team. And my height may have helped me out a little bit, but they were like, you're on the team. And I was like, spectacular. And from there, I just kind of got sucked in. I played for two more rep teams after that. And then I moved up to Jewel, which is like a step up from rep. Mm-hmm. And then I made the big step to move to Ottawa to mm-hmm. play for Capital Courts Academy. And I lived with my coach for 2 years, which... I love my coach, but it's like living with your boss.
Yeah, it's like always. Yeah.
It's just basketball 24/7. And if you had a bad practice, then you're going home to your coach and you're like, I don't want to be here right now. But no, I love Coach Fab. She's awesome. But yeah, I lived there for 2 years. And then I obviously there's a recruiting process when it comes to playing basketball. And now I'm here.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so kind of backtracking just a little bit, when did you realize that basketball was kind of the one sport you wanted to pursue?
Honestly, it's when practices started to pick up and I'm just like, I have no time for anything else. And I was like, maybe I'll just stick to this. I seem to be pretty good at it. And I, yeah, so.
Just like process of elimination.
Oh, yeah. Like, because I did basketball and skating for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I really do like skating still. Mm-hmm. But obviously practices started from 2 times a week and ended up being 3 times a week and then moved to every single day. And that's where I am right now. I'm practicing almost every single day now. And
yeah,
but I'm happy.
Yeah. And then throughout that journey, when did the move to Ottawa come up? Like, how old were you?
So I would have been going into grade 11. Okay. So I would have been 16. Mm-hmm. And essentially in my Jewel team, my coach was not a great person. Mm. Very, we'll say verbally, he made a lot of choice words. Mm. We'll use that. And it wasn't really good for my mental health,
yeah.
My well-being. He talked down to his players. He had unrealistic expectations. And I really wanted to play in the OSBA because that was just the biggest league in Canada for high school basketball. Mm. And all the other schools, now I lived in Oshawa, and there were a lot of options in Durham,
yeah,
and like the Toronto area I could have went to, but I wanted to finish my French immersion because I had been doing French immersion for, at that point,
yeah,
like 11 years. Yeah. So I'm like, I just want to finish it. Like, I don't want to put it all to waste. And so Coach Fab actually reached out to me. She had been trying to get me to come for a little bit, but we were like, Ottawa, it's too far. But then we were finally like, we drove up to Ottawa, we did a little training session, and I was like, yeah, I'm just worried about my French immersion. Like, and she's like, we have French immersion. And I was like,
it's probably like more prominent in Ottawa.
Yeah, it was actually harder because it was probably in Ottawa. Yeah. I did not do well there, but it's funny, that was the main reason. But also, like, Coach Fab and Coach Merrick mm-hmm. were both just so welcoming and so reassuring.
Yeah.
And then I ended up having two amazing years there, and I'm really happy I did that.
No, you're right about the French immersion. Like, I took it in grade 12. I did it online before grade 12. Oh, I was like, okay. I don't want to deal with this Ottawa French.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, like, my sister literally dropped it in grade 12. I was like, you just went through, like, literally your whole education to just not get that immersion credit.
And my academic advisor was like, oh yeah, like this other girl on your team, Cass, she's dropping her, she's not doing her the rest of her French immersion just so she can graduate early. But it's, and it's fine, like as long as you do the, like the B1, B2 tests, and it's fine.
I didn't
fine.
Do my DELF.
The DELF. But her first language was also French. Oh, and I'm like, you know that's different, right? Like,
I need that piece of paper. To I can't speak French. Yeah. Yeah. So then, I mean, you kind of talked about how you decided that was the right move, but what was it like kind of living away from home for 2 years?
It definitely, like, sucked. Like, all my friends were still going to the same high school. But it kind of did prepare me for university. Like, it was definitely more of an easier transition because of that. And obviously, like, luckily we're in a day and age where we still have we have cell phones and ways to communicate with people at home. But I was still... I'm such a homebody to the point where I was still traveling every weekend to go home. And then I would go home, I would work. I had a job.
In Oshawa?
In Oshawa at an Asian restaurant. And I would come home, work, and then maybe see some friends, some family, and then I'd get back on the Via Rail and go right back home.
Yeah, I hate the Via.
Yeah, it was...
It just feels like such an airplane, and you're, like, packed into
it. It does, yeah. Actually, it was often quite empty when I went on it.
I'm a mega bus believer now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I did take the Flixbus for a little bit, but there was a time where they had left a good 20 people stranded because it did not show up.
Megabus would never do that.
Yeah.
I trust them with my life.
I should have looked into them, honestly. But Flixbus was only $40. So.
Yeah, Megabus, if you book far enough in advance, $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
depends. Shoot. It goes like way up. It goes from like $10 to $70.
Why didn't I know about this?
Hey.
That's...
Goes right to Saint-Laurent Station.
Oh, okay.
Pretty close to the end.
That is pretty close.
Okay. And then, so from Ottawa, what was... I know you talked a little bit about the recruiting process, but how did you kind of decide on TMU?
So it's actually a really... not, I wouldn't say funny story, but it's a story.
Okay, good.
So... I had a lot of mental health struggles in grade 11, which heavily impacted, like, my performance and stuff, which led to me losing a bunch of offers from schools and a bunch of schools not talking to me anymore. So I basically had to restart my recruitment process again in grade 12. And I had a few schools talking to me, but I narrowed it down to two schools. University of Pittsburgh and TMU. So I only went on two visits, those two schools. I went to Pitt, great. I went to TMU, great. I had also I've known Carly for a while. Like I went to watch a practice once in like grade 8. So it was kind of always set in stone that I'd come to TMU, and I've always like had it in the back of my mind. But Pitt, the thing with Pitt is that it was D1 and it was... You know, they were basically paying me to go there.
Yeah.
Like, it's ACC. Like, they got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And my big thing was, am I doing my parents a favor if I go to Pitt and go to school for free? So I committed to Pitt. And then the head coach gets fired. Oh. And then the new coach calls me and was like, I don't want you on this team. Oh, awesome. But I had already signed. So it was up to me to make that decision. Hmm. But he basically said, like, you have to decommit, but we've already over-recruited you. You're not really going to play. And I was like, well, then I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Which was really hard for me to say. Yes. Like, and I'm just so grateful that Carly was so willing to have me back. And, yeah, now I'm here and I'm really happy I did decide to stay home because I'm just, once again, I'm just such a homebody. And I love going. I go home every weekend.
And do your parents come here to watch?
Oh, at most games, they're here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was basically basketball that drew you here, but were there any, like, looking at the sport media program, was that, like, a big plus, or?
I actually originally wanted to go into, no, that's a lie. I did want to go into sport media, but then I was kind of thinking of more of a, broader.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought That's if I went niche. Into, yeah, it was it's very niche. So I was thinking more media production because I could still go into sports with media production.
Yeah, for sure.
And I, but because I switched schools, I went from Pitt to TMU, I didn't apply in time.
Mm.
But I applied in media production and new media because the first year kind of aligns
it's very
similar.
Universal.
Exactly, yeah. So I did not get into media production, and I got into new media, which I still do not understand what new media
is. No, it's way more like science than they advertise. Yeah. It's all tech, and I could never.
No, I'm so confused.
It's crazy, too, that it's a Bachelor of Fine Art.
It is
now being removed from RTA, which makes sense.
Yeah, which they should have.
Because it has nothing to do with radio television.
No, it does not. I did that my first year, so I do have a few new media classes under my belt. And then my second year, I very much aligned my schedule to be a media production schedule. But luckily, production theory is also taken by sports media students. So,
luckily. Being in that class is not lucky.
No, it's not. But luckily, I don't have to take it anymore.
Yeah.
The other class I did was media writing, which I actually really enjoyed.
I think I tried to take that, and they were like, no. Because it's a media production.
It is. But it was such a fun class. I love writing.
It looked fun. Me
and
too.
That was definitely something. Like, script writing, I would totally do that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of journalism, and I'm like, but then I have to talk to people.
No, I did that. I did journalism all summer, and I was like, actually, I don't think I can do this. Yeah. Before every phone call, I was like, okay.
Yeah. No, like, I just do not have the confidence to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I could have done that with script writing, but not with...
Yeah, script writing, you just be in your room, and you don't have to talk to anyone.
Oh, yeah. This just sounds like the life to me. But yeah, now I'm thinking of going towards more of like a digital media graphics kind of route.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question. Like, going into sport media, what kind of drew you into that program? And you kind of
I actually was more thinking of how I'm gonna still integrate myself into basketball after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So new WNBA franchise in Toronto.
Hey, I'm looking for.
Yeah. Like, I might be.
I'm on Indeed. Yeah. Like,
no, for real. That would be like. Awesome if I could do that, or even the Raptors, or I'd be happy with the Leafs, honestly.
Anything.
Just working for a Toronto-based sports team would be just the dream, honestly. And whether it's doing graphics or maybe social media or content creation, that's like my, where I'm kind of hoping for. But you know what? If I get camera operator, I'll take it.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, you got to start somewhere and maybe eventually that leads to.
Yeah, or even like being like a social media manager for like a celebrity. I would love to do that. That would be so much fun.
Just like an assistant, like, hey.
Yeah, and just like look through all their DMs and be like, what are these?
You start responding to people and you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, it's Justin Timberlake. I'm like, no.
Crazy pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. Like, sport media is very niche when you're here, but it's in the end, it's just a Bachelor of Arts, and you can go and do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
The important thing is you're learning, like, the skills and being a people person, even if you're not really.
Yeah, and of course, like, if I'm hoping to build up a portfolio.
Yeah, it's a good spot, too. They make you do stuff.
of course. And I'm like, well, I know I took sports media, but here's my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a bunch of other stuff, too.
Yeah, because even, like, I was thinking on the end of, like, script writing, and, like, I took film classes in high school, and I was like, I can take sport media, but also then go into, like, sport documentary.
Exactly,
and, like, stuff like that.
And they have a sports documentary class.
Yeah, I'm going to take that. But, yeah, there's just so many options, and there's a lot to do while you're here that can very much give you
100%,
a why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so being here for school and basketball, how do you kind of balance? Because there's a lot going on in classes.
Yes. I won't lie. I'm lucky to have a lighter major than others. I feel like a lot of, like, I have a girl on my team who's in aerospace engineering.
I saw that someone was an engineer. I was like, how do you even?
Yeah. I have friends who, like, my roommate is also in aerospace engineering, and he is, he is an athlete, too. He does curling, so that doesn't really help.
It's a little less demanding.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I have a friend who is in, not in aerospace, but she is in engineering, and she is studying, like, 24/7, and I'm like, I don't know how you do it, honestly. And I've just been built up such, I would say, good time management skills, just being an athlete for so long. Mm. And I just kind of applied it to now, and it's just been working out so far. So, honestly, and I think about it, if I ever stopped playing basketball, the amount of free time I would have, holy moly. Like, I don't know what I would do with myself. I'd have to get a job. Like, I'd actually have to be doing something, because I couldn't just sit in my apartment all day. I think I'd lose my mind a little bit.
No, high school's good for that. Like, it being, like, I was, like, a student athlete in high school, too, and technically still am for, like, 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it gives you, like, those skills. And they're good skills to have going forward, like, even when you stop playing basketball. Just time management in general is great.
Yeah. It's definitely one of a skill I'm very grateful I have. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some positives to being a student athlete.
Oh, 100%.
That. Yeah.
I'm also always in shape, too, which is really nice.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other perks.
But yeah.
But yeah, from a skill set, time management.
Yeah.
It's been great having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
And this has been Shuttersport Girl Talk with Katie LeBoudelaire featuring Hannah Mills. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next one.